Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Presented by Four Winds Casino and brought to you in part by Nancy's Pizza and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome into the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Four Winds Casino with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. So much for riding the wave of the Four Nations face-off into the final 27 games of the Blackhawks season.
Back into the gutter. What a wake-up call that was for hockey fans in Chicago.
Oh, my God. I've got Blackhawks fatigue again.
I flew out to Boston for the final, the game on Thursday, USA-Canada. And that Four Nations, it was like I fell in love with the sport all over again. The fights, the physicality, the commitment, everybody buying in, the defending. Guys like Dylan Larkin, Jack Hughes didn't have the best game, but Austin Matthews was defending until he wasn't in the slot against Connor McDavid. But it was just like, it was great to see all the best players in the world doing everything it took to win a completely made-up tournament that doesn't mean really anything, an exhibition. But the buy-in was great, and I'm like, you know what? I was excited to watch the Blackhawks against the Jackets that Saturday.
There was finally some momentum outside of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the sport that you love and hold near and dear to your heart, right?
Exactly.
And look, let's not get it twisted. You and I and most of the Blackhawks fans didn't think, like, all of a sudden a Tkachuk was going to be in a Blackhawks sweater and play, and they were going to, you know, make some crazy run or you know, but win eight in a row or do something spectacular on the ice. I just thought...
I want you to compete. I want you to play the right way. I want you to buy in. Do the little things right, that the small details that everybody talks about that you see from guys like, I did not know what an animal Dylan Larkin was. And the two-way game he has. I have a new appreciation for Austin Matthews, who I always kind of wrote off. He was so good defensively in that.
Chief, name a guy on the U.S. or Canadian team that doesn't play a 200-foot game.
I can't.
Exactly.
That's why they're all
exactly.
in there. It's all the best player. But it's like they don't necessarily have to do it all the time. They did it every shift of that tournament because that's what it how you're required to be if you're going to be among the very best. And the Blackhawks have none of that. And you don't have to be talented to play the right way.
Exactly.
Just play the right way. Play hard. I've said a million times on this show and other places, I don't care if you lose 82 games this year, as long as you're playing the right way and defending and hustling and buying in and doing what the coaches tell you and being smart with the puck and you're and filling gaps, and they don't do any of that.
So was this playing the right way?
Sunday stroll.
Last night against the Utah freaking hockey club, the shot attempts were 93-39. That is absolutely insane.
Was it the Russian Five from the 90s? Either? Was it the Edmonton Oilers from the 80s? No, we're talking about the Utah Hockey Club, who's also not going to make the playoffs. It's not like there's some unbelievable juggernaut team.
They're about 3 points out of the final wild card, but probably not.
Probably not.
No.
Probably not in some joke of a rink where they have 11,000 people. They showed up. They dominated the Blackhawks. If not for Soderblom, that game was 6-7-1.
The scoring chances were 52-16 in favor of Utah.
52?
That's
insane.
That's a weak load of scoring chances for the Hawks.
Oh, my God. 52
scoring
chances.
Honestly, I wanted to bang my head in the CHSN set and just and end it. And again, this is coming back from Mexico. I'm excited. I've been watching Four Nations. We've got a couple
real
months.
Hockey.
You know, we got high, you know, let's go. Bedard is scoring at a point per game. Let's do this. Mm. And they just go out and play three crap games And they're now 1-10-2 in their last 13 road tilts.
Yeah, and then 0-3 out of this break, and it's just, and that's the thing. Like you said, you don't expect Brady Tkachuk to be on the team overnight, no. And for them to be fighting people or whatever. That Kent Johnson goal in the Columbus game
on Saturday.
So Slaggart has two chances to get it out, doesn't do it. Puck comes to Kent Johnson. Bedard basically ushers him down the slot for an easy shot and a goal. And I'm not saying you got to be Patrice Bergeron. He was not moving his feet fine. Even without moving his feet and gliding into the slot, all he had to do was stick his stick out. A little poke check. Just get your blade on blade as he's attempting that shot and make the right play. And it's sometimes it's so simple, and it's just like those basic things, they have to be done. If you want to be on... You know, next year is the Olympics. If you want to, and right. 2 years after that,
you
it's the
just
World
spent
Cup.
2 weeks watching it,
right?
And you wanted to be there,
correct?
And so, therefore, for you to get there, you have to play a similar style,
right?
And to like in game one against his boy
Kent Johnson,
like that is one of his great friends. He spent the Four Nations with him. He trains with him in the summer, like. They play this massive 3-on-3 Sunday afternoon thing where it's nonstop for 2 hours. That's where you build your 200-foot game.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was frustrating. Now we got to talk about Seth Jones.
Let's. Okay? I got a lot to say about
that. All right. So last Wednesday on the Hockey Show, we had Ben Pope, who broke the story that day that Seth and his agent, Pat Brisson, had gone to the Blackhawks during the break and said, we want out. We want to go to a contender. I know we got 5 years left on our contract at $9.5 million per season.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a lot of money. I'm not exactly playing fantastic, but I want out. Okay, that must have been, fine. If you're Kyle, you're like, okay, let's see what we can do. So that was Wednesday. Then on Friday, he doubled down on that. He spoke to us and the members of the media and said, look, this is not what I signed up for when I came here 4 years ago. Stan Bowman brought me here. It wasn't a tear-down rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And he got that huge extension. And it's been four of the darkest years that this franchise has seen in recent memory in 25 years.
Yep.
And so he doubles down on that. And then last night, he does score the lone goal for the Blackhawks. But let's not mistake. He's not playing like he's Cale Makar out there. This is what Seth Jones had to say after the 2-1 loss in Utah. This from a player, a leader on the team, who in 4 years has said boo, has not said one controversial thing, and yet in the last week, he's doubled down twice that he wants out, and he said this.
What needs a change for this ever to list the riot itself?
I don't know. You know, I think we're the exact same team right now as we were at game one. And I think it's pretty evident out there. We haven't made any strides to be a better, more simple hockey team, you know. And it shows, you know, we don't get a lot of wins because of that.
This is kind of an opportunity to gauge that since you started here and now 60 games and almost you're back here again.
Well, this has been almost 4 years of, you know, bottom of the league, so it's not just this year, for me at least.
All right, I'll turn the floor over to you, Ryan.
All right, first things first, he's right. Okay, there is nothing factually inaccurate about that quote. He stopped just short of basically saying the biz thing from TNT and Chicklets, where he's calling it pond hockey.
Right.
All the little details. Doing too much, playing stupid, playing soft. He's right. And they haven't improved from game one of this year or game one of last year. It's the same garbage that lets them to be one of the worst teams in the league year after year. So he's right. Getting to your point of what you're saying right before we played it, where have you been? You make $9.5 million. You're 30 years old. You, in your past, had been a guy who would wear the red, white, and blue, considered one of the better defensemen in the league. This was, while you wasn't supposed to be a full tear-down rebuild, when you came here, it was still the last 2 years of Taves and Kane. You knew that you were the heir apparent. When you signed that deal, they probably told him that, hey, you're probably going to be the next captain of this team. If you're going to be this all-star defenseman making $9.5 million, you're going to be the new face of the team. He has not been that for 1 second. And I like Seth Jones. I think he's gotten too much hate in a lot of ways.
And a lot of that is because
the contract.
Of the contract. But he hasn't. Look, Chief, he hasn't lived up. If I said to you he plays at a blank million-dollar level per year, what would you say? Seven?
Five?
Five?
I mean,
six?
Because he hasn't been great on the power play really either.
And he shouldn't be on any first unit power play. He just shouldn't.
Then he shouldn't be a $7 million defenseman.
It's also an indictment on the franchise that they don't have somebody. I mean, Alex Vlasic never played power play in his career until Seth went down before the Winter Classic. And he took over and actually made some strides.
But
and
if Seth moves his feet consistently like he did on the goal last night, which he had a ton of space to use because they all shaded towards Bedard. But if he's moving his feet like that, and he was looking to shoot, moving around, he was buzzing for that entire power play, and he finally got the goal, if he played like that consistently, then yeah, sure. But he doesn't bring it every night either. So he's just as guilty as anybody else. And it's like, if you want to be the leader, the vocal leader, and I'm all for public shame. So if you want to call people out after 4 years of this, by all means, he should have been doing it all along. Right now, it just feels completely hollow because it's completely self-serving. He's doing the Dennis Lemieux from Slapshot, trade me right now.
Yes.
And that's all this is. So, nice player, fine player, 25 minutes a night, each minutes, whatever. He was brought in to do a job. The job description changed, which if you sign an 8-year deal and you have the two greatest players in the history of the franchise leaving after two, you knew that there's going to be a transition phase, which would, regardless of how the first couple of years played out, was probably going to happen right now. And that's when you were supposed to be the leader. He hasn't done it. And now it's just like he's trying to force his way out. It's gross.
He's trying to force Kyle Davidson to force his way out. The timing of this smells, right? It's within a week of him saying that he wants out and that he wants to go to a contender. He's got a full no-movement clause, so he holds the cards on whether or not he will go to whatever team that they can find a partnership with as far as a trade deal. But you're right in the fact that he has never once over the last 3 years kind of taken that role as a leader and said, like, we cannot do – like, it's always been – this year, it's been Foligno, and it's kind of been void of that. I mean, Connor Murphy a little bit over the years, but there haven't been a ton of players, you know, since the new regime took over and since Kane and Taves exited stage left.
And it is supposed to be him, and whether it comes naturally to you or not, and I say the same thing about Bedard, and maybe it doesn't come naturally to Seth Jones to be that voice in the room. Maybe he is a voice in the room. I don't know. Not in the room. But this has been going on a long time, and he's like, oh, it's 4 years of this. Well, say it, okay? And if it doesn't come naturally to you, too bad. You're making $9.5 million a year. You're one of the most talented guys on the team. Your voice should matter more, and you should have more effort shift to shift.
What did you think of Seth Jones' comments? Did you agree with them? Do you agree with how he's handling this? How does this impact Kyle Davidson's chances of moving Seth before the March 7th trade deadline? Lot to get to there. Your thoughts on some of the other trade possibilities that are coming up around the corner. Ryan Donato seems to be very likely to be moved. I want to know what price tag you're moving him and where you're saying hold on to him. A lot to get to. 312-332-3776. Your phone calls are next. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I'm Pat Boyle. Our phone number is 312-332-3776. We're also sponsored by Chevy Drive, Chicago, and Nancy's Pizza. And the Hockey Show is hitting the road for a live broadcast from Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo on Wednesday, March 12th at 8 o'clock.
Can't wait.
That's Central Time. By the casino is in the Eastern Time Zone because it's in New Buffalo, Michigan. Yep. So come hang out with us. We're looking forward to our show meeting and a great dinner at Copper Rock Steakhouse prior to the show. Danny Zetterman better be buying.
I am charging it to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are special room rates for $99 available for ESPN Chicago fans if you want to make a night of it. Visit fourwinds.com, then select New Buffalo and use the event code 0325ESPN. That's 0325ESPN. And join us live at Four Winds March 12th and bring your luck.
Those will be my roulette numbers.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And we'll have trade deadline to talk about.
Yep.
The tournament will be right there, ready to go. And we'll be getting closer to
the
playoff. Stanley Cup. The end of the Blackhawks season, but the start of the real hockey season.
Correct.
Post Four Nations. What else? So we got phone lines are buzzing. Let's go to them right now. We've talked a little bit about Seth Jones and the comments he made. Let's go to Mike in Glendale Heights. Mike, you're first up on the Hockey Show. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, guys. Got out of class. Been a long day. But, hey, I love this show. I'm glad ESPN gives some love to some hockey. I actually proposed to my wife in New Buffalo. So kind of just a funny tie. But I just wanted to chime in on the Seth Jones thing. I mean, I completely agree with you guys. He's kind of being sour about everything. I don't blame him, but at the same time, you get farther in life with sugar than vinegar. I mean, work with the Blackhawks. Because honestly, if I'm the Blackhawks, I'm like, hey, maybe I can send you to some other place that's not going to be contending and just get what I want to get. So that's all I wanted to say, really. I mean, Seth Jones just needs to be a little bit more professional about it. I get that he hasn't had the best situation given to him, given the contract that he had, but at the same time, be a little bit more professional. And also, it's going to come down to, hey, where do you want to go? Work with us, and we'll work with you. If you're going to be like that in the public, we're going to be like that behind the scenes.
Great call, Mike. Thanks for dialing us up.
Yeah, the Hawks are just in a no-win situation with this regarding his trade, because he can block. He has all the power. And then what if he? If they don't trade him, he just gets worse and becomes more of a distraction, has more negative comments. So it's like, I don't know what they do. They're stuck.
If he really truly wants out, and let's say they come to him with a team that is borderline contender,
mm-hmm.
and they say, look,
you can go back to Columbus if you want.
Or you can stay here,
yeah.
and it doesn't look like he wants to stay here.
Right.
So, I mean, they do have a little teeny bit of leverage, not much. He holds most of it. But this definitely ramps up, because you don't want that around your team. It's already going to be tough enough. Ryan Donato leaves, and Seth goes. Like it or not, younger guys are going to come on board, and the team's not going to get better.
No, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
It'll get worse. So there might be more talent, but their team's going to be worse. And this is where I get so upset with Jones and these other veterans and the guys who are currently on the team now, where it's this year is all about building that culture. So you have this influx of talent coming where it's like, hey, this is how we do things here. This is the way to play. And if you're Sam Renzel or Artem Levchinov, all you guys better fall in line, because we're doing things the right way here. It doesn't seem like that now. It seems like they're walking into a cesspool.
Yeah. The other thing I seem to hear, because I listen to the station quite a bit, and I'm a big Bears fan. I know you are as well. And, you know, everything kind of revolves around the National Football League. And there is no offseason. We're at the combine this week, and we're gearing up for the draft and free agency. And there always seems in the NFL, And the stats prove it out.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 23 years, I think it's only been 1 year where a team hasn't gone from last place in one season to first place the next.
Yep.
It happens every single year.
Maybe it'll happen this year.
Okay, maybe it will.
Go
maybe
Bears.
It will.
Bear down.
But I think a lot of people take that thought and apply it to other sports, mm-hmm. and say to themselves, well, look, you know, they got Caleb Williams, and, you know, they got to improve the offensive line and get an interior defensive lineman and, you know, obviously upgrade, get the best coaching candidate out there. You know, they're going to make these steps. And they assume that other rebuilds go along the same way. Mm-hmm. And when you analyze NHL rebuilds, and we've been talking about it on this show, and you look at number one picks like Connor McDavid, who's been taken, and there are so many examples of those rebuilds taking 8-9 years before they get to the promised land. And Connor McDavid is not even there yet. He got to game seven,
yeah,
but didn't win it. So, you know, people in year whatever you call this, three of the rebuild, two and a half, however you want to look at it, people want to see more. I want to see more. I'm impatient. But at the end of the day, too, I look at the analytics, and the analytics tell me that total rebuilds in the NHL don't happen like they do in the National Football League. You can't flip the script from year one to year two. You just can't.
You can't. You can't. You can make progress.
Sure.
So if you look at a team like Columbus, you know, What a story. And they've been at it a little bit longer. Their rebuild probably started when they traded Seth Jones, and then they kept Werenski. But, you know, they made a move for Provorov, and they made a couple of different trades. And they get Fantilli, who's been on fire since the calendar flipped to 2025. And he was drafted, what, third that year behind Bedard? Mm-hmm. Carlson went second. And so, you know,
They have Johnny Gaudreau, you know, and a top 10 forward.
Yeah, but
obviously he passes away.
Right,
and the fact that they have to, you know, trudge on and deal with all the stuff that goes with that.
Yeah, you miss them on the ice, you miss them off the ice, and it's a big void to fill. And they put a good product out on the ice. And they, you know, I don't know what kind of attendance or following they get in Columbus, but I find myself watching them a decent amount. Kent Johnson, they have some nice young players have all been, you know, they're in the early phases of a rebuild. And I think when Davidson took over this job, the cupboard was bare. I mean, if you look back at some of those drafts that Stan did, it was, you know, they drafted Ian Mitchell and Jukka Harju, who he traded, and Boqvist, who sinks. That's like the funniest thing about the whole Seth Jones trade. I think the Hawks won the trade because they got Cole Sillinger, who's like a fourth line guy who's fine as a young player, and they got Adam Boqvist, who's been he was with Florida, they cut him, and I think they had the other defenseman who hasn't been able to crack their lineup, and I think they might have traded him, David Juracic. So I think Seth Jones is still one of those trades where both teams lose somehow.
Yes.
But now you look at Columbus, and if that was the start of their rebuild, which is trading Seth Jones away, and they lost Panarin and they lost Bobrovsky and they lost a lot, and they lost those guys for nothing,
right?
Because they just walked at the end of a playoff run. They've really done a pretty good job of retooling that team. And the Hawks, they're in the early phases, and I've seen a lot of chatter.
That was even with the Mike Babcock.
That whole fiasco. Yes,
where
I forgot about that.
I mean, to think that they hired a coach and he didn't even make it to the first game of the season.
Made it to like the second team meeting.
He's some creep.
Yeah, it's like, let me see your phone. But they've been able to put a good team on the ice. And it does feel like when you watch them, it's like Kent Johnson, Adam Fantilli, you know, Sillinger. And then they have some of the guys that are holdovers from when they were, you know, I think they won a playoff series. They beat Tampa Bay. And obviously Zach Werenski. So Zach Werenski could be the MVP of the league, if you ask me, this year. If they make the playoffs, like
he's at least in discussion and dialogue.
Yeah.
And look, Werenski and Seth Jones were paired together before he was traded here. And that turns out why, you know, Seth had the numbers that he did, because
big part of it.
Zach is probably the better player. Is the better player.
He's not better
probably.
Player.
He is. And they went to dinner Friday night before Saturday's game, and Seth was asked about possibly returning to there, and you know he didn't poo-poo the idea, and so
he says you can't go home again.
Yeah. I mean, if that's where he wants to go, hey, if they can get a deal done, fantastic.
Send him.
But here's the thing: money. Like, I'm not. I'm not eating more than $2 million a year of his $9.5 million.
Well, based on Puckpedia, it says that the Blue Jackets currently have $72 million in cap space. that's what is, or their current. I'm sorry, $19 million in cap space, projected cap space for the rest of the year.
Okay, so they can make it. They can make it work.
They can absolutely make it work. And if you look at who they have to re-sign, it's really nobody. Like their team, they don't really have a lot on their team. So Marchenko is on his second deal. He signed for 3.8. They have Sean Monahan, who's on IR 5.5. Cylinder's on 2.5. If they want to go get, another defenseman to plug in there instead of Erica Branson in their top four, he's right there for him. So come on, send him back.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Bill in the Gold Coast joins us now. How you doing, Bill?
Not too bad, other than Brian being mean to me about European soccer lately because of Man United. Other than that, I'm great.
You guys stink.
Okay, you don't need to say these things. It's just not necessary.
This is the hockey show, Bill. This is the hockey show, Bill.
Okay, fine. So the question I asked for you guys, which I think is fair. So after the Four Nations, it's hard not to watch that tournament and think to ourselves, like, I like that guy at the Blackhawks. So while some of them are not really doable, like Bradley Tkachuk, is there any guy that you saw skate, you're like, okay, Seth Jones is clearly on his way out. We need talent on this team, and I think we need it now. I think we're also in position to go, spend. Is there anyone you guys had an eye on that you thought, you know what, let's go get that guy?
Hell yeah, Bill. His name is Mitch frickin' Marner.
Out.
Come on. You know what?
What?
Did you watch him?
I did.
He played brilliantly.
I thought.
Doesn't perform in the big games. Biggest game, he had two frickin' assists, Chief.
He did have the assist to McDavid on that last goal. I thought in the first.
Kicked the puck from the kick plate to his blade to McJesus.
Yes. I thought the first game, he was.
You know USA, what?
He was invisible. Look,
did you watch Mitch Marner?
If you want to give that guy 7 years and $14 million a year, more power to you.
I want to accelerate this rebuild. Superstars don't grow on trees, and they don't come available very often.
Bad contracts can kill you, too. And
how? It's good. The cap's going up. We've got nothing but space.
I mean, that's true. I look at this team, and it's like, is what we need another small winger?
We need a big winger at some point.
So
yes.
If Bedard's a wing and Nazar's a wing.
Now we're going to get into the Matthew Nyes bromance, which I don't think they'll be able to get him,
but I agree. It's just like if you're doing roster construction and Bedard's a top six winger eventually and Nazar.
Mitch is 27 years old.
I get it. I mean, I won't be crying and saying it's a bad deal, a bad thing if they get him.
Oh, my God.
But I can't.
I honestly, Bill, did you watch a lot of the Four Nations and did you see Mitch Marner?
I watched every single game.
Okay, what did you think of Mitch Marner?
I thought he was electric. I thought you're actually right on, and I don't think the size is the issue. We need guys who can score pucks and be involved in creating scoring opportunities. So I wanted him, and the other person that caught my eye was Mikko. I wanted Mikko terribly.
You can go get Mikko right now if you want, apparently.
Thanks for the phone call, Bill. And that's a really interesting situation because during Four Nations, Carolina goes to Mikko's representative, and they make what we understand to be a $100 million offer.
Yeah.
And he said, hold my stick.
Yeah.
And he was using the excuse of the trade, getting adjusted, this is a lot happening. But, I mean, and he's not exactly lighting the world on fire there at all.
No, not at all.
So
I would trade him again, I think. Because Carolina's not, like, you're just going to be left holding the bag and get nothing for him? You already gave up Natchez.
Or do you roll the dice that he's going to perform in the playoffs like he has?
Yeah.
And
he doesn't have McKinnon on his line anymore.
Well, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Right. Just like Seth doesn't have Rinsky next to him anymore.
It's a little bit of an adjustment.
There is a correlation between who you play with and who you don't play with. I'm still bothered that you haven't come around a little bit on Mitch. Yes, they have a surplus of smaller forwards.
And more on the way.
That's the way the league is gone.
Not in the playoffs.
No, look. I'm
The big teams always win in the spring.
There are small forwards, and there are small forwards.
Yeah.
He is a great one.
He
plays in all situations.
He does.
He plays a 200-foot game.
I agree.
He's one of the reasons why they won it all. And I don't know much more a guy needs to do to...
When you watched him play, he was much better in the championship game. He was much better in the championship game. I'll give you that. He was invisible when that game was the first game on that Saturday night. That Saturday night,
Connor McDavid was invisible in the title game until he.
Connor McDavid just won the Conn Smythe. Like, he's got a little bit more.
Oh.
What? He's performed in the playoffs.
You're judging
consistently.
You could say Mitch had a better Four Nations than Connor did.
Connor had 5 goals in that.
Was it 5?
Yeah, he was the MVP of the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, played better than him in the title game. How about that?
Sure, sure. Yeah, look at. I think he's a very good player. He's a very good player. If they get him, I will not be upset about it.
Please.
But if I'm trying to find a path for them to have a roster that wins. And
okay, so you know, we're up against the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your big four. I know Matthew Nyes is like the prototype, yeah, but give me a couple of options out there. Or are you talking about drafting a kid who's 18 and I got to wait 5 years before I see him produce on a playoff stage?
I'll pull up the
okay.
list.
All right. And while you do that, I'm going to give away a Four Winds Casino gift card. Four Winds Casino is giving away a $200 gift card. Be caller number 10 to win right now. You must be 21 or older. You must live in Illinois, Indiana, or Michigan. The Hockey Show is brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago and Nancy's Pizza. But that Four Winds Casino $200 gift card, caller number 10, 312-332-3776. You're a winner. And the Hockey Show coming back right after this.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. On the AM. At 1000. On the FM. At 100.3 HD2. On your phone. Through the ESPN Chicago app.
It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief, who's playing a little hurt tonight. Just a
Can
warrior.
You tell?
The warrior. I am Pat Boyle. Blackhawks back in action in Vegas tomorrow night. We were talking in the break. What are your favorite NHL road buildings? Right now, Vegas tends to be at the top of many people's lists.
I haven't been there. I've heard great things. I've heard they put on a show. I love MSG, the Mecca.
I do too.
I think it's great. I was there for Rangers.
Have you been there since they redid it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there for Penguins Rangers Game 7 a couple years ago, where Panarin scored the OT winner, and that was one as a neutral is one of the best sporting events I've ever been to. So. MSG is awesome. It does have an energy. It's a weird layout. They have that skywalk thing. I think MSG is very cool.
Have you been to Montreal yet?
I've been to Montreal. It was a long time ago.
A lot of the players, I mean, it's the Mecca.
It is. It's the capital of hockey.
You know, Toronto is sneaky corporate.
It's sterile.
It's so highly priced
They need a second team there, I think. Because you need another place for these people to go.
Wait a minute. We don't like Mitch Marner, and Toronto needs a second team.
Well, they do,
if they want to win a playoff.
It's been talked about before.
Or win a cup, maybe they need to.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to thank Jim in Crown Point, Indiana. Nice. That'll be a short little jaunt from Crown Point to New Buffalo, Michigan, to spend his $200 gift card. Hopefully he could come by to Four Winds Casino on March 12th. And we will be there as we're going to be eating at that the Copper Rock Steakhouse.
Very excited for that.
Looking forward to that. And we'll do the show live from Four Winds Casino on Wednesday, March 12th. All right, I'm going to get to you about the Donato situation and kind of what some of your benchmarks are for the Blackhawks the rest of the way. But first, let's go to our buddy Tom in New Jersey. Tom, how you doing tonight?
Great, guys. Happy Wednesday. I was just congratulating Kevin on his hot dog eating performance. First of all, once again, thanks for always making the week so great. And you talked about McDavid waiting 8 or 9 years. Well, this is the 10th year anniversary of the Hawks where they, you know, won the last cup against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you guys to compare and contrast the fall off the cliff of the Blackhawks and the fact that Tampa Bay has, by and large, stayed pretty competitive. I think they've won 2 cups. They've been in the playoffs 7 years in a row. I think they were in the cup 4 or 5 times. I know a lot of it was salary cap. I know some of it was age. It doesn't hurt to have a Vezina Trophy winner like Vasilevsky, to have a Norris guy like Hedman. They did lose Stamkos. Kucherov is out of this world. But how did our guys get so old? And these guys, either they found the fountain of youth or something, or is it strictly salary cap that we had to give up all of our good role players, and yet they've been able to handle and hang on to theirs? And obviously you got to give a lot of credit to Cooper. I mean, the guy came back last Thursday night and got that team to rally in hostile environment. So compare and contrast why we've fallen so far in those 10 years, and Tampa has stayed so competitive.
All right, Tom, good question, and we'll dive into that. You start off here, Chief, and I'll jump in behind you.
Yeah, I think that they've drafted very well, too. I mean, they found Braden Point. So that team in 15, the drivers for them were obviously Stamkos. They had Ben Bishop was really their goalie.
Right.
In that.
And people don't remember. Vasilevsky got into a couple of games.
Because of injury, really.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was at the beginning of his career.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the launching point.
Correct.
And then he goes off.
Becomes best
and become one of the best goalies in the world. Wins Vezinas. So they always had the backstop.
Yep.
Hedman, they had their number one,
mm-hmm.
their workhorse back there.
And then they go out, they make they make a deal for Ryan McDonagh. And then they, you know, so they kind of just...
And they've gone through two regimes.
It was
Stevie Y, Steve Yzerman, who I don't think gets enough credit for setting them up and building it.
Yeah, but it's been maintained. And then you find guys, like we said, Braden Point, Anthony Cirelli. They identified Brandon Hagel as a trade target, and that was one of the best contracts in the league. It still probably is at 6'5". Jake Guentzel at 9'5".
I mean, if you were saying Stamkos or Guentzel,
I was shocked that they had the
balls to do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't know we could say balls.
Well, I'll just say pucks.
Yeah,
they had the pucks to do that
to make that kind of a move. So yeah, and they did it, and they're still one of the top teams in the league. But it is drafting and developing. You have to be able to find guys, and that's something that Davidson has said, where it's like you have to be able to find guys down the draft that can help you win. And Cirelli and Braden Point are certainly examples of that. Braden Point is a third-round pick. Nikita Kucherov was a later-round pick. And they've crushed it, and they've signed these guys to some favorable
and
deals.
And they made, like, the Brandon Hagel deal was a genius move.
It really was.
They took a player that can play up and down their lineup, who they identified is a good player in the playoffs without knowing ever seeing him in the playoffs.
He's a dog.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was on a entry-level deal.
Mm-hmm.
So they had him for a couple, 2-3 years at a low number.
Yeah. Then he had his RFA deal, which was like minimal as well. I think it was like for like maybe $2 million.
And yeah. And they gave up, you know,
a couple of firsts.
Couple firsts.
Yeah.
And which, where they are, it's that those are 30th. You know, usually they're picking around 28 to 32.
I do remember the comment from Jonathan Toews when that trade went down. Because, I mean, Brandon Hagel is now.
That, to me, always was the signal of the beginning
correct.
Of the rebuild.
Yes.
Brandon frickin' Hagel.
I was at Declan's when I got that call that trade was going down. And Hagel's still only 26. So I remember
I love that kid.
Jonathan. Oh, he's great. He's great.
And you know how you love him? You love somebody so much? He's always the comp. Like when Landon Slaggard, I'm like, you know, it kind of reminds me of Brandon Hagel. And that's kind of a lofty comparison right now.
Every guy with a little bit of grit was like, oh, he could be like Andrew Shaw.
Yeah. That could be our Duncan Keith.
Yeah. But Taves was like, hey, if you're looking to rebuild, why are you trading your best young player?
Yeah.
And so he identified him way back when. And somebody asked me online, be like, what would you give to get Brandon Hagel back here? I'm like, probably two firsts. Send him right back.
The other thing is John Cooper.
Yep.
You know, he was under fire in that 2015 series. And I just remember being in the room. He did.
Yeah.
By a Hall of Fame coach. Yep. At the time, he wasn't a Hall of Fame coach. He now,
definitely.
Cooper is definitely 100%. A Hall of Fame. But it's amazing, and I've told you how enamored I am with these behind the scenes. It doesn't matter if it's volleyball or it's EPL F1. Or what. Like I'm like I'm in, you know. And they have a Four Nations one that they had the championship game. NHL Network put it out the other night. And I'm a sucker for a coach that can command the room.
Yeah, and he can.
And I mean, I'm watching him. You know, you go out there and be a Canadian champion. You know, and you're just like, oh, you know. And taking nothing away from Sullivan.
No,
but I do think that there is something to that, and I think they've got a world class organization.
Like, they do top to bottom. They absolutely
so much
do.
So that they're in the process of selling the team, and the money that the previous owner is making or whatever, he's gonna pay some of his employees that have been with him for like decades.
Yeah,
and they're all gonna get like a six figure check.
Pretty nice.
I mean,
I would like that.
How many owners in this town would be doing that?
Not too many.
All right. We got one more break here. We've got another Seth Jones phone call on the other side. We'll tackle that and some other things around the National Hockey League. The Hockey Show coming back after this.
The Hockey Show
with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
Call us or tweet your comments to @ESPN1000. The Hockey Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Four Winds Casino. With Ryan Brandel, I am Pat Boyle. Thanks to our producer, Charlie Bevins, and Sean Graney, doing a great job per usual. Thank you for the phone calls as well. Let's go to Tassos, in Wrigleyville. How you doing, Tassos?
Hey, Pat. Hey, Chief. How's it going? Thanks for having me on with you guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
What's on your mind?
So I was watching a show, Chicago Hockey Radio, on YouTube. They had Greg Boysen on today, and they were talking about Seth Jones, and Greg made some comments that, you know, if Kyle Davidson isn't willing or able to get the package that he wants, particularly for Seth, and if it means they don't have to retain, that instead maybe it'd be better just to hang on to him, you know, that the salary cap's going up, you know, Seth Jones is still a good player. Maybe this is just a way to light a fire under Kyle Davidson and get him to maybe make the hockey team better. Curious what you guys thought about it.
All right, thanks for the phone call. Look, if they don't, I give it about a 50-50 chance that he gets moved before the March 7th trade deadline. If he doesn't get moved then, I think it's a guarantee he gets moved in the summer. I don't think that they want this.
It's becoming toxic.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that was the initial quote from Anders. It was like, well, he's a consummate professional, so even if he wants to trade, we know he's going to get his best effort. And then he doubled down, and then he tripled down, and then, you know, eventually it's just like, hey, like this is, you're getting diminishing returns from him, whether he's a good player on the ice or not.
Yeah.
So it's time to, for all parties, time to move on.
Did you buy that, you know, they are the same team that they were game one? They haven't improved in any area? Because there are a couple places that I would say power play has gotten better.
Special teams the whole year has been better versus what
they
it
haven't
was last year.
Got it. I think they've got the fourth least number of power play opportunities,
so they never
which
have the
tells
puck.
You they don't have the puck.
Yeah.
And they're not winning battles or yeah.
Yeah. They don't have the puck enough.
Goaltending, Arvid has been a somewhat pleasant surprise.
He was spectacular against Utah. Yeah, so that's almost it's like a problem that they have now, because now they're going to have to carry three goalies next year, too.
Yeah.
They're going to have to move somebody.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And Laurent Brossois, I don't know when we'll ever see him. So let's – again, how much do you think they're going to need to retain of Seth's $9.5 million AAV times five?
I mean,
or what would you do? I've seen people say like half. No way.
Half is crazy.
I'm not doing that.
Half is crazy. But you might, retain two. You might get a third team involved. So you each do a quarter. And then I think I would do that. So if it's a quarter, and then whoever gets them is paying 50%, fine. But just, it's time to, I'm ready to move on from that, this whole ugly era that's been going on since 2018 or whatever.
What, you talk about a team that has retooled on the fly, Washington Capitals.
Yeah, doing it with a lot of former Hawks.
Yeah,
I mean, TVR.
It's kind of impressive.
It's very impressive.
And I gave them no chance, and nobody, they're first in the East, and nobody talks about them as a Stanley
they're
Cup
running
contender.
Away with you. I don't think they're a cup contender.
Yeah, do you realize that OB is on pace to
against
break
the Blackhawks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another reason to watch the game,
but it's
right?
in Washington, right?
It'll yes, it is in Washington.
Okay, yeah. It'll
I
be like,
right now, April
Blackhawks
4th.
Start running commercials for that, get people out to the United Center, but it's away.
Hopefully, CHSN will have a deal with Xfinity by then. What's going to happen first? CHSN has a deal with Xfinity, or we find out where the Bears are going to build their new home?
I think we'll find out where the Bears are building. I thought you were going to say a deal with Xfinity or the Blackhawks make the playoffs. that's how it feels at this point.
Sweet Jesus, let's hope it's the Xfinity deal. That is going to do it for us. For the injured Barstool Chief,
yeah,
I am Pat.
My apologies.
Boyle. Thank you for listening to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Four Winds Casino. We'll see you next time.